initiation of adoption to the Mongolian people. Many times people ask, hey, how come you adopt it? You can have biological children. That doesn't make any sense. Why would you do this? And so we have the opportunity to share God's love just through our family and how we bring that glory into a place and having that answered to share to people. So the Christian Missionary Alliance, is it going? All right. So there's different ways that we can serve with the Christian Missionary Alliance. And so one of those ways is through international ministries, and that's kind of the MDiv guys, the pastors, the church planters. There's Compassion Mercy Associates, the relief and development arm. So I always joke around and say we're kind of the wrench turners. And then Envision is raising up emerging leaders for kingdoms. So short-term missions, kind of the millennials, and there's some few old guys in there too, but they're going out, and that's the passion they have. And then Business as Mission, Marketplace Ministries. These are some of the ways you can go out with the Alliance. And in the Alliance, we have over 500,000 U.S. Alliance family members speaking 37 languages and in 2,000 countries churches, 7,700 U.S. Alliance workers in 70 nations. I was going to show you on the card here which one is the one that you guys could be praying for the most. right here, this one right here with the woman with the head covering. That one is covering us. She looks Turkish to me, but that is one of the Central Asian countries that have us all on there. So that's the card that I want you guys praying for. All right, there's two different ways to be giving to the Alliance. There's the Great Commission Fund, and then there's the Comma Advance Fund, and there's other ways to give as well. And so we encourage you to give to the Great Commission Fund, but when people are going out with the with Comma, we're funded through the Comma Advance Fund. And so that is a way that you can give to us. It's like the Great Commission Fund in a lot of ways. So you give to that, and you can dog-ear it for maybe the Lanes or another missionary. But when I have more than enough, it goes to cover somebody else that's doing missions work. When I don't have enough, they cover me type of thing. And that's how we're doing the pot of missions funding. You can also go to the commaservices.org website and give to missionaries directly. All right. So I'm kind of talking about the work and what we're doing, and Krista will bring in more of the word in a little bit. So who is a missionary? This is one of the things that I was always curious about when I first come to the Lord. Who does God call to be a missionary? And I want to encourage us to think of being and living missionally, okay? And as you do that, many people think, you know, we know the word missions means the sent one, or missionary means the sent one. So God may call you to go to a place that looks like this next slide. This is going to be a panoramic view of where I live. I don't know if you guys can see that. Do you see all the lush vegetation? You don't see that? Okay. Maybe if they get it in focus, you'll see some more green stuff. So this is where we live. Right here coming up now, this is an altar. They put altars in all the high places. This is one of both the Tibetan Buddhist and the shaman things, and they'll go up there and they'll put a ton of offerings on that, hoping that the spirits will bless them. So in the background there, did you see that booming metropolis? That is the city that I live in, or we live in, okay? So it's a high desert. We're about a mile high. In February, we get about 30, well, for about a week in February, we'll see 30 to 40 below zero. And the most of the time, around 20 below zero. Yeah, in the capital city, it's 30 below, so we are very excited to be here and not there. So this is some of our traditional food on the next slide. This is the salty milk tea that Kazakh eagle hunter is enjoying. We have fried bread, and then we eat a lot of goat meat, okay? So when you are there and you are the honored guest, they want to give you the head. And so they'll cut off the ears for the kids so they can listen better. The singers in the group, they'll take the palette and they'll give that to them. And then the eyeball for any of the kids that wear glasses or people that wear glasses, they give them the eyeball and you get to enjoy that. And I will pass on to you now that a prayer that a missionary gave me said, Lord God, I'll eat it up if you keep it down. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Kazakhs of Mongolia, that is who we've been called to work with. It's a minority group out in the furthest west. So we're about 3-hour flight from the capital city, which is Ulaanbaatar, Red Hero. We're in a city called Hoft. Okay? So this is where the minority group of the Kazakhs are. Joshua Project says that an unreached people group is a group that has less than 5% professing Christian or less than 2% evangelical. So if you see on those numbers there, we're 0.2% Christian and 0.05% evangelical in this area. About 60%, Joshua Project says, follows Islam. So they're Muslim. I would say that from what I can tell, that's not necessarily the truth. They do identify themselves as Muslims. So that is something that you really have to work with. That is who they are culturally. I would say they have folk Islam, which means that they are more animist, really, than Islamic. So that's something you have to know when you're reaching to them. We went to Mongolia thinking that we were going to be working with Tibetan Buddhists. We found out we're going to be working with Muslims. We got to Hof thinking, oh man, we're going to have to start studying, you know, about Islam. But when we got there, I realized not a lot of people know about Islam. They don't know the rules. They don't know different verses. There was nothing that, there wasn't a way to build inroads through the Quran. I would have to teach the Quran to be able to build an inroad to the Bible. So that's not where we started. I didn't want to start teaching the Quran, so we didn't go that route. So that's some of the things that we had to learn when we got there. Okay, again, who is a missionary? Does it mean that you're going to be sent to the ends of the earth or to a desert to serve his people? Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We want to fulfill the Great Commission by following the Great Commandment, right? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Go is the charge. Go. In Acts 1:8, where are we going? Where is this place? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Or maybe one could say in Brooklyn Park, all of Minnesota, the United States, and to the ends of the world. We've got to start with those around us. We've got to start in this room. We've got to start with the people that we see every day at work. We've got to see our neighbors. I notice in America that neighbors don't spend time on the porch anymore, right? We don't hang out on the porch. We don't see each other. We just go and we drive in our garages and we are done. We don't have to see anybody. We don't even have to pay people at the gas station. We don't have to do any of those things. We don't have to interact with people. But that has to be our charge. We have to interact with people. We're going to have to go out of our way, really, to interact with people. So God is calling us to go. And that here, on the next slide, we've got a couple arrows showing you where we're at in Mongolia. So the first arrow is the capital city. Maybe there are no arrows. There are no arrows? Okay, so the first one we're in, I'll just tell you the cities we're in. Okay, we're in Ulaanbaatar, we are in Erdint, we are in Darkhan, and we're in Hoft. If we go to the next slide. All right, the capital city, Ulaanbaatar, means red hero. This is the capital city. We have the U-Bean coffee shop, which is where Eric and Christina Wallen are at. We have the English classes. We have counseling center, international church, and education centers. So these are all different ways. You'll notice in every city and almost with every unit or couple, we're doing different things. So missionaries look different. We're not all the same Myers-Briggs score. We're not all the same exact, cut out of the same exact piece of cloth. We're all different. It takes a body of us, right? And I believe John Piper said there is three different kinds of Christians. Zealous goers, zealous givers, and those who are not involved, right? Those who are disobedient. And so that one we have to, like, you know, be a little sensitive when we say it. But so that's the thing. We've got to be praying. We've got to be going. We've got to be giving. We've got to be a part of missions. Because in Matthew 24:14, it says, hey, get her done so I can come back. Right? That's what Jesus, the end game is, hey, when this is done and preached to the ends of the earth and to the people groups, I will come back. And so that's our charge, right? So Darkhan, it's 4 hours north of the capital city. They're doing leadership training, a counseling center, and financial freedom groups. In Erdint, 4 hours northwest from the capital city, they're church planting, an amazing couple. And this one I like to share because they're an older couple. And so a lot of times people think, oh, really, young people have to go do missions. But this couple is an older couple, and they are probably more energetic and moving throughout the country more than any of the young couples. So be encouraged. God can call you at any age to go and do missions, all right? You're not finished until they bury you, I guess, right? So let's get moving. And then Hof Mongolia. So this is a picture of Hof. Some of the projects we're doing is the Mighty Men Fitness Center, the Well Projects, the Kazakh Cultural Center, and Leather Goods. The Mighty Men Fitness Club. Okay, so what we're doing there is we're trying to give men a place to come and hang out. We're trying to get them out of the environment that they're in, which is usually either drinking or fighting. These are our options in the wintertime because most of the Kazakh men, they do manual labor. Come wintertime, everything's frozen. There's nothing else to do, so we might as well drink and fight, you know? So this gives us an opportunity to be able to be with men. My idea was, after it moved into this gym, that we would have hour-and-a-half slots. We'd start at 3 o'clock, and we'd go to about 10 o'clock, and people would come in and out, come in and out. But the problem is they never leave. They come in, and they never leave. So we had to change that. We have about 20 to 30 guys, and they just come in, and they stay the whole time. So we had to kind of rearrange how we were going to do fitness and how we were going to work out, because working out that entire time is not going to happen. So sometimes we watch movies, sometimes we have classes on nutrition, sometimes we have class on how it is to be a man or a husband, and these are the things that God has opened up doors for us to do in this community with these young men. Okay, water wells. So in Mongolia, a lot of times their hand-dug wells are about 4 meters deep, okay, where we're at. Now your outhouse is about 3 meters deep. So you know that you're probably not getting very clean water, right? And so what we've been doing is we've been trying to use appropriate technology so we can, so the locals can replicate what we're doing and putting in wells. So we are using a fence post pounder and pounding wells into the ground. So we put a point on the end of some galvanized, we drill holes in it, we pack it with salt for the first meter, and then we weld that onto a 6 meter piece of pipe, we drive that into the ground. Then we weld another 6 meters. We usually get about 9 to 15 meters down, and we're able to get cleaner water. Not absolutely clean, but it is cleaner water. And so we were able to do that, and we have been doing that since 2010, and right now there's 3 individuals that have taken that project on, and Kama only does relief wells every once in a while. It's actually now the 3 gentlemen's jobs. They're employed to do that. It's their own business. So it's something that has moved on past Kama. We didn't have an exit strategy for it, but it started taking off, and so we were able to release that and let them continue doing it in our community. So this is a new project that we've been looking at, is the Leather Goods Project. We have a lot of livestock. We eat a lot of livestock, and therefore we leave the leather behind. And a lot of times it's getting sold into China or it's getting sold into Russia. So we're looking at what are we going to do with this ourselves? Is there a way that we can do something? And we do get tourists into Mongolia. They come for just a short window. But really our market, what we're looking for, is to sell it to other Mongolians and Kazakhs. We don't want to necessarily import anything or export anything because we're sandwiched between 2 countries, Russia and China. And yes, we're about roughly the size of Alaska, but because we're trapped and we don't have a port, it's very hard to export things. And so we want to keep our goods local and be able to sell them local so the community can make a profit from it. So this is the project. If you find it if you go to the Kama Services website, you can give to this project under Marvin and Haley Pittman. So I'm going to call Krista up. And I know I'm kind of moving along a little bit. So if you have any questions, we'll be outside. And after service, just please feel free to stop by and ask us some questions about Mongolia.
Okay, so we've just got about 5 minutes, and I have way more than 5 minutes to share with you, so I will just keep it to the first maybe 3 slides and then skip down to prayer requests real quick. So when we first got to Mongolia, I really struggled with how to reach the people, and the need was so great. And so God really began to work in my heart, and he switched those letters around from how to who. And he said, don't focus on how, focus on who is it that I am. And like we sang this morning, He is our Father. It's who He is, and we are loved by Him. And when we first got to Mongolia, we had just brought Eli home from Vietnam just a year before that, so adoption was really heavy on my heart. And so God really used the story of Jesus being baptized and the Father's voice saying, "You are my Son, in you I am well pleased. You're my beloved Son." And so He began to tell me, "You're my beloved daughter." And that's all you need to focus on, is that you are my daughter. That's who you were first. When you first came into the world, you were daughter. And so I began to just rest in that place of being His daughter. And we brought Acacia home 3.5 years ago from Ethiopia. And you have an Ethiopian family here today with you, more than just today. And their daughter's name is Deborah, which is the same name as Acacia. Acacia is Deborah. She's Acacia Deborah from Mekelle. And they even have family members that are from Mekelle. So I was just very moved by God the Father this morning as we talked with them. So thank you. It's amazing how we are a global family in the Alliance. These are some of our favorite verses. James 1:27 talks about caring for orphans and widows. And Isaiah 61 is that Jesus is anointed to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and that we also are anointed. And so the Kazakh church, they are really like the early church, like Acts chapter 1 through 4. 12 were baptized in February of 2014. There were 18 young girls who professed faith, but the mosque started sending out warnings. And there was a lot of persecution, so the girls got scared. So you can pray for them. And then you can pray for the Kazakh church as well. We were studying Acts chapter 1 through 4 right before we left, and so I'm just going to give a really quick overview. Larry already shared the part about you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and then Pentecost with the wind and the fire, the breath of the Holy Spirit. And then they began meeting together. There were 3,000 baptized, which we had 12 baptized. And then they started devoting themselves to meals and prayer. They meet every Wednesday night. And then chapter 3 is when the beggar was healed. And then chapter 4, Peter and John were questioned. And they said, "By what power of what name did you do this?" And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said, "If we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame and are being asked how he was healed, people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." And they realized they were ordinary men. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there, there was nothing they could say. After further threats, they let them go, and then they left, and they were praying. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and told them what had happened. And when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And they said, "Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit." And then they went on and talked about Herod and Pontius Pilate and how they were conspiring against your Holy Spirit, Jesus, whom you anointed. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. I'm shaking. I just pray for the Kazakh believers. They are brand new believers. And God raised up a young couple to head the church. And the couple that was on the slide before, they are Marvin and Haley Pittman. And they are the ones that are discipling this young couple and helping them to lead this young church. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would fill them and come on them, and that they would have great boldness, even though there's so many threats and persecution. There were lists of names being put together to get rid of the Kazakh believers in our city. It was really intense right before we left. And so we ask you to join with us to pray for the new church there, that they would have that boldness and that the Holy Spirit would come in power. It's like they're in the upper room just waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And I was up in the upper room before church today praying, and I realized, oh no, I left the light on, but I didn't have time to go back up there to turn the light off. And I said, no good, I want the light to stay on. Just that picture of keeping the light on and waiting for the Holy Spirit to come in power. And you can pray for us, if you want to skip to the end. This family here is Jarkhan and Aijan. They were the very first believers. They lived in our yard for 3 years, day in and day out. They lived in the gear, and we lived with them for 3 years, and they finally opened their hearts to the Lord. And then for our family, you can pray especially for restoration. I was reading Jeremiah chapter 33 this morning, and it's that common verse we hear, call to me and I will answer you, great and marvelous mysteries that you do not know. And then it goes on to talk about a restoration and healing of this land. And we ourselves need rest, and we need restoration. We need healing. I came to the Lord this morning. I said, God, I don't know how I'm going to speak this morning. Praise God, I only had 5 minutes. I don't know how I'm going to speak this morning because I had a really bad reaction. I have a long list of food allergies. So yesterday I had a reaction. I accidentally ate some almond flour, which almond is the most severe. And I only had a bite, but my body's not feeling very good from that. And so we need prayers for healing. We need prayers for rest. And God again reminded me, it's not how, Krista, it's who. Who do you say that I am? And by His grace, I'm up here speaking today and reminding you that He is our Father, and we are loved by Him. And it's that simple. He's our Father, and we are His sons and daughters, adopted into His family. So thank you so much.